Swing for the fences with the Fence Authority. They've been providing the Delaware Valley with fences for almost 3 decades. With 4 stores throughout the region and one of the largest inventories of wood, vinyl, and aluminum fencing, the Fence Authority makes your next fence as easy as 1, 2, 3. Do it yourself or get it installed with the best workmanship warranties in the country. So swing for the fences at the Fence Authority. Your new fence is waiting at fenceauthority.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you good?
The Fan.
All right, hour number two, Danny Dusty with you on this Friday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the fan, and youtube.com/1080AM, the fan, where the party people party. Thanks for coming along for the ride. All right, we wrap up last night's action in the NCAA tournament with Maryland fell to Florida last night. And they ran out of gas in the second half, and it just looked like it was over. And when it was over, it was over. But the talk prior to that was all about Kevin Willard. And we played audio of Kevin Willard, who completely shrugged off and disregarded, deflected to the nth degree, the question of, yeah, man, you've been talking a lot about NIL. You know, Coach Loxley, the football coach of Maryland, said he'd like to keep that in-house. And he answered that question by talking about stopping
Walter Clayton.
And they did. They held Walter Clayton in check.
They did that.
He had 13 points. It wasn't even their leading scorer. But that was his whole answer to an NIL-related question. All Maryland fans just dove into, this guy is gone. He's already accepted the Villanova job. There were unverified reports around that he has accepted the Villanova job. And immediately following the Terps' loss to Florida last night, Kevin Willard was asked about the Maryland job and his commitment to it or Villanova.
So I have not even, I don't know what I'm doing. I'll just be honest with you. I haven't talked to my agent. I haven't talked to my wife. I made a promise to this team that I was going to just focus on this team, and that's all I've done. So I haven't talked to anybody. I have an agent. I'm sure he's talking to people because that's what agents like to do. But, you know, I don't know.
That response right there, I think everybody is going, oh my goodness. This guy, PR 101, he has not taken that. And he sure as heck has not taken a 300-level course or 400-level course in PR like Will Wade at McNeese State did, which he just got out in front of it and stamped it down and said, hey, these are the facts. This is what I'm doing. I'm here right now. And look, yeah, I am talking with other schools. That's a good way to stop it. He was honest with his team. He was honest with everybody. And it is different, though, being at McNeese State as opposed to Maryland, where he's already in a Power 4 school. He's actually in a Power 2 conference
at
the Big Ten.
School that does give a damn about basketball.
And is in the Sweet 16 at the moment. And
landed a top prospect in Derek Queen, who's going to the NBA.
This, everybody's going, what in the world? How could you be this inept when answering the questions? Little sleuthing on the internet, Seton Hall fans, which is where Kevin Willard came from to get to Maryland, they said, oh, this is nothing new. This is Kevin Willard after his final game at Seton Hall.
Kevin, there's been a lot of rumors in the last day or so of you potentially going to Maryland. Do you want to kind of comment on whether that's accurate or not?
I'll give you exactly what I can tell you. I have an agent who I haven't talked to yet. I don't know who he's talking to. I have absolutely no idea, but when I get home tomorrow, I'll talk to my agent and discuss things with my agent.
Zach Braziller, New York Post. Kevin, there's been a lot of rumors in the last day or so of you potentially going to Maryland. Do you want to kind of comment on?
Yeah, double play, Will. You're okay. Sounds exactly like what he said last night. Connect the dots there. Dude is going to Villanova, right? But if you are Villanova, are you now listening to this and how he's handled everything from you're leading into the tournament and your complaints are about your NIL at your school and the reaction to it and his inability to handle the way that the backlash from his fan base, from the media was to that, and then how he's handled all of this steam moving forward towards the Villanova job? He has botched it in every way, shape, or form. If I'm Villanova, I might be having cold feet about bringing Kevin Willard in.
Yeah, the landscape has changed so much for coaches in college. It's not just about how good you coach, how good you recruit, how well you can work with boosters and NIL and collectives and agents and all that stuff. It's so forward-facing now. And to go from Jay Wright to what they had and then go to Willard, that's a tough pill, because Jay Wright was the best at this.
He's a CEO, man. He would get in front of you, and a really good CEO, where he gets in front of you and he instills confidence in everything that he is doing in the direction that the program is going in. That was Jay Wright.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked damn dapper doing it.
Absolutely.
In his suits. But this is the antithesis of that.
Look, man, you can be a great face of a program and an okay coach. You can be an okay coach and a great CEO, or a great coach and a okay CEO, and just kind of, you can mangle some of that stuff, but there's, you can't bungle the big stuff.
Yeah. He also, Kevin Willard gave we don't have the audio of this one, but he gave a Willie Taggart response where Willie Taggart, when the Florida State rumblings were around, the infamous, I'm the coach at Oregon right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is where I'm at. He gave one of those to, like, yeah, I'm the coach here now. Not going to cut it, man.
No.
Everybody sees right through that. There is a way to handle these things. And I think in the era of the transfer portal, and this is the thing about, this is why the transfer portal exists, folks.
Mm-hmm.
This right here. We are hearing it from all of the coaches, and we just got a text. Jonathan Smith gave the same, my agent does that stuff, but I have no clue.
Really?
Right?
You don't, your agent's texting you every day.
Everybody knows, and in the transfer portal, everybody goes, tampering. The reason why the portal exists is because of the imbalance that coaches had, where they could go and they could run off and they could take any job they wanted. And you know what? Wherever they were going would pay an exit fee for them to get to leave their current job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the transfer portal is here because if all of the coaches can do it, why can a player not do it?
Yeah.
And you want to talk about commitment and loyalty of players when the coaches don't have any of it either.
Yeah, well, I mean, when a quote-unquote better opportunity comes up, then why should it not matter the same for the player? But look, I mean, Willard has clearly not handled this correctly.
No.
I think, for me, I think you have to go down one of two paths. You shut down everything. Hey, I'm not talking about that until after the tournament, and I'll talk to my AD, and I'll talk to my agent, and we'll figure some stuff out. And clearly, they're going to have those talks before that, regardless. But you either shut it all down, or you go full Will Wade.
Yep.
look, man, yeah, yeah, I am entertaining another job, but look, my focus is here right now, and yeah, I'm probably going to go somewhere else, and you guys probably have seen the reports on it. That's neither here nor there for right now. And I've addressed this with my players. My players know where I stand. I've been upfront and honest with them. They've been honest with me. And we're locked in right now. I think those are the only two paths. The, well, I don't know, stuff. That's not going to fly anymore, man. Either shut it all down or embrace it.
And I'll say that players and coaches alike, they know the college athletics landscape, not just right now, but it has been for decades, has been a transactional business where it is, and it has evolved, and it, I think it is more fair towards the players. And in that, it was always transactional in that I gave you a scholarship because you can be a player that gets me more money as a coach. And at the highest level, if you don't think that that has been part of the game, you're crazy.
No.
You're crazy. Now, the great coaches and the good coaches, and I've heard these on sidelines all everywhere, where you go and you hear players and coaches and jobs are on the line, right? At a small school. Will, you probably heard this at Central Washington. Your job is on the line. Like, coaches, players alike, because I know I heard it at small schools where it's like, dude, you all don't start performing, my ass gets fired. Transactional.
The one that was famous, and you played with this guy and he coached me, is whenever a athlete of his would say, oh, coach, I forgot that in the meeting, he would turn to the head coach and go, coach, please don't fire me. I really hated working at KFC. I know the running backs. I taught it to them. I don't know why they can't hold on to it. Please don't fire me. I don't want to go to KFC. My kids won't have food to eat. It's an old roommate of yours.
I loved him, too.
The best.
Yeah. Yeah. Coach Stu. Coach Stu.
Coach Stu's the man.
He is the man, and he is a damn fine coach. And he didn't get fired. He's actually getting paid handsomely now.
There you go.
At a Big 12 school. There has been this transactional relationship between coaches and players, where
it's understood.
They all know it, and you can, if you have the other part of that relationship, which is it's a trust and a belief that your best interests are my best interests, and I care about you. You can have those tough conversations, even in the Sweet 16, and you're going to get a good performance. And Maryland, by the way, played their butts off in the first half.
They did.
They got worn down, and they got ripped apart in the second half. But in the first half, they put up every bit of a fight against one of the top teams in the tournament in Florida, and then the wheels fell off late.
Look, Florida just floored them. It's six guys in double figures. No one guy beats you. That whole team just said, yeah, hey, we have a lot of dudes. Enjoy.
Yep.
And they just, I mean, nearly everyone that got on them for the court for Florida last night, with the exception of when they, you know, emptied the benches, was just getting it done.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I picked Florida going into this tournament. They're good. They're deep. They're tested.
Todd Golden, good coach.
Good coach.
Good coach.
Good coach.
All right. Well, now we got a matchup of Florida and Texas Tech.
That's a weird matchup.
Guns up versus Gator Chomp.
It's a weird matchup. I have no idea how I feel about that matchup.
Yeah. Not me neither.
It's a weird one.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow. Okay, let's get to the Blazers meltdown. Ugh. Boy, that was a thing down in Sacramento. Officially time, that ripcord, pull it. Pull it, pull it, pull it. Danny and Dusty.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know, I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
All right, it was the make or break game for the Portland Trail Blazers last night. Well, it was a break game. Losing 128-107 in Sacramento last night.
Yeah, I think this was a... The results almost couldn't have been mathematically worse for them going into that game. And I think they knew it.
Well...
I think it turned into the so going into the game, they had...
just bad.
Well, I mean, so the math going into that game was going to get a little skewed if they could win. Because it would open up a path... A tree, as it were,
mm-hmm.
off of the probability outcomes, because they would have a potential tiebreaker open up if they won, if they got in a three-way tie with Phoenix and Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas winning and then Portland losing to Sacramento took that tree away, and it pushed them further behind.
Well, can we now get to the point that they should have been a long time ago? Just pull the ripcord, final eight. Get it out of the way and just finish this season, because whatever they have built up right now will not be ruined in eight games. It won't be. It will not be ruined in eight games.
I don't think so at all.
It wouldn't have been ruined if you were to have strategically done it at 20 games, because you have grown and developed guys and they know the path to be successful and what that looks like. And they have. They really have. The 10 of 12 before the All-Star break, that was enough to be like, we have seen strides in every single one of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just let the bottom fall out in these final eight games and see if the basketball gods will smile down upon you come lottery time, because you put up a good fight to the detriment of what the lottery balls will tell you is beneficial for getting a star player.
So if you want to know the math, they are not mathematically eliminated from the play-in. They have a less than 1% chance. And when I did it last night, going into the game, they had like a 5.2% chance. And if they won, that probably would have gone up to about 10 to 12%, depending on some other things, which, again, not great. They have a 0.2% chance of making the play-in. It's beyond fried. Fried, baked, cooked, fricasseed, roasted, however you want to cook it. It's done. It's done, done.
I don't know. I don't know why anybody would have wanted to see it, the play-in, look, at this point, because you would have unceremoniously bounced.
Trust me, I get it. I do know people who do want to see it, and it was the players.
Well, yeah, of course, because they don't tank.
And not just that, like
organizations do.
You're like a guy like Denny,
mm-hmm.
or the young guys with Scoot, Shea, Tumani. They've never tasted anything close to it. Denny comes from literal basketball hell in Washington. Like those teams were just nasty. Everybody knew, even in the Eastern Conference. So he was he was juiced for it. Like, yep. he wanted to, like, even remotely competitive basketball that meant something.
Right.
It did mean something to me, which is why I think you saw Denny just playing with his hair on fire for the last month.
Sure.
Because it was like, there's a real chance for this. And a month ago, there was. 2 weeks ago, even, when they won a couple games, they were like, okay. But now they've lost three in a row, it's a wrap. And look, I have said over and over again, I wanted them to see them steer into the cliff at the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, there's no reason not to. The only reason you could say no to it, and I know some people, not just at the Blazers, but in the NBA, feel this way, don't F with the game.
Play the game, though. And part of the game now is to set your franchise up for the most favorable position in the draft lottery.
We did the Tankathon live on air last night, and the Blazers won the lottery.
See?
From the ninth spot. Look.
Smile down.
I've seen a bunch of people say that this season's lost. They got nothing out of this. And I'm like, look, man, even if you, quote unquote, tanked to start the season, you weren't going to be in the top four. You weren't.
You weren't going to be as bad. Well, as New Orleans was a big surprise.
Yeah, New Orleans was a big surprise, and then throw Philadelphia in there.
Yeah.
You were going to be in the 5-6-7 range. So the math right now is that the Blazers are very likely to end up at 8. Their most likely position is 9th, but you're looking at a near coin toss. I think they're going to end up an 8th. That's been my feeling since the All-Star break, is that they were going to end up an 8th.
And that obviously just puts more pressure on Joe Cronin to make a big move on the trade market this offseason. Because if...
depending on where they land in the lottery. I mean, so much of what they have going into this summer, it's May 12th.
Mm-hmm. It is May 12th.
May 12th is the decision tree matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what comes out of that, whether they move up, they get knocked back, they stay in the same spot, there's so many different things that come out of that. And that's the thing that sucks, and not just for the Blazers. Any team in the NBA that is in that range, 1 through 8, 1 through 10. Your entire offseason and what you do and how you go about it is luck. And no one wants to admit that that's the case. But when you're in that position, you are praying that the basketball gods deliver for you.
Yep.
Perfect example, if this year was last year and the Atlanta Hawks move up from 10 to 1, let's say the team is what they are right now and the Hawks are in the 10th spot and they moved up to first, and now Cooper Flagg is on that team and they go into next season with Reza Shea and Jalen Johnson and Trae Young and Cooper Flagg.
Mm-hmm.
How different are the fortunes of that team to start next year as opposed to last year? And so it's so dumb that is the primary mechanism is lottery balls.
I think, though, that even if they do win the lottery, which is, hell, Atlanta, right?
Look, it's very unlikely.
Very unlikely. But even if they do, I still think that another move to really make this team solid can be made.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's on the trade market where you can clear the path for, all right, this roster really makes some damn sense, right? You get that number one pick and you're sitting there with Cooper Flagg. Then you have a very good problem to have, which is a log jam of guys that are in that 6'7 to 6'9 range, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when you say, all right, we can start unloading those, because there's a lot of teams in the NBA that need guys like that. Hell, Portland was desperate for one of those guys when Damian Lillard was here, right? Mm-hmm. And then you finally have the assets and the capital. Like, there still is a lot of pressure, win, lose, or draw in that draft lottery on May 12th for this team and organization to make big moves this
offseason.
To make
a very sizable transaction.
Absolutely.
I 100% agree.
And look, it's a terrifying spot to be in, because you're in no man's land as a fan where you're just sitting there going, oh boy, we have zero control over any of it, and we don't know what the future looks like. And the worst case scenario is nothing happens and you sit at 9 and you don't get one of the premier players and the trade market doesn't manifest itself and they say that the deals just weren't there. That's when you got to go and make the deals, though. Mm-hmm. You have to make the deal. The deals don't have to just be there and show up for you. You have to go and be proactive in making them. And that's the worst case scenario, is nothing happens and this team is back again next year in the same kind of position where you're good enough not to be one of the top selectors in the draft.
If they made a pick and basically ran it back, it would be egregious.
Yeah.
It would be egregious.
Yeah.
I 100% agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, I'm not a, oh, the clock's ticking, tick, 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 because they don't have the dude. And that's not just a Blazer thing. It's not a I love the Blazers front office thing. That's just how I operate. I think you can continue pushing along because you don't have anybody age-wise that you're worried about right now. That does not also mean that you should not be moving things along and progressing through the team building cycle, as it were.
Yeah.
So
get Con Knipple. Con Knipple.
I'm not opposed to him if they ended up there.
I'm Con Knipple to Portland through and through.
They're low on their quota.
Yeah.
So he would be an okay addition, but so would the guy at number one.
His teammate. Yeah. I'd be okay with that too.
And look, if you want to put the prayer circle lighting of the candles,
I think Portland's at sacrifice time.
Yeah, no, 100%.
I mean, prayer circles were two drafts ago.
There was a tweet last night when somebody asked, would you cut off your pinky for Cooper Flagg if you're an NBA executive? And I think it was Tyler Rucker at No Ceilings. You had the John Wick image of him at the table cutting off his finger. It was like, no, we're at the cutting off the finger stage of
all
this. I think
that poll would be 30 for 30.
Yeah.
You would get 30 yeses on a pinky.
Yeah.
Just be like,
especially at that age. If you're running a team.
Dude, you're Pat Riley.
Yeah.
Gone, dude. Yeah. Whatever. You know what happened? Cooper Flagg happened.
Yeah.
That's what happened in my hand.
I think I'd rather go stubby on the ring finger than the pinky. The pinky has more utility than people are willing to give it credit for.
Pinky's gone.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying if I had a choice.
Pinky's, it's the first one gone.
Really?
Yeah. Left pinky, dead to me.
Pinky's up, dude.
No, it doesn't go in. Anyways, I dislocated it so badly, it just doesn't stick to the rest of my hand. So I could be without it. Gets caught in my pocket a lot.
You said the pinky doesn't go in. I never mind. All right, coming up next, it's time for our worst day on the web. And
what do you mean by that, Danny?
Sometimes it doesn't go in. Mm. A New Jersey police chief has been accused of, there's petty and then there's criminally petty. We'll get to that next year. But first, is Big Will Betts with the Sports Center update.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Being a cop's a tough job. I would
ridiculously tough.
I wouldn't wish it upon most people. I almost became a Clackamas County Sheriff when I got out of the military, and then I was like, "Nah, I'm good. Don't want to go down this
path." For the best.
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, let's be honest. I wanted to learn all the tricks of the trade so I can cover my tracks. A New Jersey police chief has been accused of pooping in desks and spiking people's coffee with Viagra.
This guy's probably like, what happened to the good old days where you could take a desk deuce and a little popping coffee there, huh?
Yeah.
Taking the fun out of the job.
The complaint alleges a hostile workplace that includes juvenile pranks like putting firecrackers under chairs, which, that's funny.
Dude, is this like, was he watching the other guy's desk pop?
Yeah.
Just did my first desk pop.
Look. Military culture is very pervasive in police culture. There's a lot of crossover. We do a lot of very dumb things that we never, ever, ever, ever want to go public. It's not how we want those things to go. Good, mostly safe hijinks are good for camaraderie and morale. I will always stand by that. Firecracker under the desk, poppets under the toilet seat, saran wrapping the door and or toilet. Fun. Mostly not problematic.
The firecracker under the desk seems a little problematic.
Mostly not problematic. The criminal offenses like dosing office coffee, not a singular, community one, with drugs like Viagra and Adderall.
Oh, okay. No, this guy's just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to play the office pranks, you got to know your audience too. And you can't just blanket everybody with it.
No.
Because you just don't know.
Medical conditions.
Yeah.
Remember, Viagra started as a heart pill.
Well, Mildred, the accountant, she's not going to be one that's wanting Adderall in her coffee.
I am so focused today.
He's like, I just wanted up productivity for a day. No.
It'd be kind of funny if he was just like charting productivity. Golly. And he was like, it's weird. I saw a spike on the same day that I spiked the coffee.
There is a reason why all of these commercials have got like a 30-second disclaimer in their 60-second spot of all the adverse side effects that can happen. You could have killed old Mildred.
Yeah,
she'd be dead.
I still stand by the two worst side effects I've ever heard: anal leakage and death.
May cause death is a big one.
That's not a side effect. No. Just like the prescription drug commercials. Like I've literally heard may cause death.
It happens in a lot of them.
And I went, that's not a side effect. That's an outcome.
Wouldn't it also technically be a cure? From whatever you had, you would be cured of having that issue.
Yeah, cured of life.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Technically, probably not wrong.
You're pretty wrong in that one.
There's another one that's further in here.
How many deaths do they need to go in the trials till they're like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't?
Depends on what it is. Like allergies, probably not very many deaths.
Nah.
But like brain surgery, probably allowed for some more deaths.
Brain surgery was what you went with there.
Yep. Not rocket surgery.
Not trying to cure anything, just surgery.
Yeah. Just,
well, no, yeah, like a brain surgery.
Take this pill for brain surgery.
No.
Ordner's like,
no, you guys are twisting my words.
No, your literal words
were
for brain surgery.
No. Well, yeah, like if you're going through like a new experimental brain surgery.
There you go. There's some framing.
You can allow more deaths in that. If you're like trying to test out a new allergy pill, if people are dying, that's probably bad.
Yeah, but you transitioned from allergy pill to brain surgery, as in a brain surgery pill.
Well, there's a scale.
Well, I mean, we can get to the nanobots in the pill kind of a deal.
But what was that Bradley Cooper movie where you take the pill?
Limitless.
That one.
Yeah.
Limitless.
Which kind of brain surgery?
Which side effect would you be okay with the seepage there if you had limitless capabilities?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, because you're smart enough to create.
I mean, you said that's
sort of
two
fix.
Of the worst ones but, that you. But like the
anal
death one.
Leakage is just. That's a. I don't want any leakage.
No.
Especially there.
Well, you don't. You don't. But. If you're limitless,
no, you
can figure out a way to stop
that. Yeah, 100%. Make the drug better.
Because you're limitless.
Yeah.
You can have the cure to that. Yeah, I think, depending on how old I am, you know, like if I want to go limitless and I'm like in mid-70s, I'll take the death as a side effect I'd be willing to roll with.
Sure.
You've had a good run at that point.
You're rolling the dice?
Yeah. When limitless in my last years, I could be able to, you know, make some generational wealth for the family, you know? I'll roll the dice on that. But ahead of that, I don't think I'm going to do it.
Yeah, no, hard pass.
But everything else, probably I'll accept if I have the limitless capabilities, you know?
Yeah.
Just be like, done.
There's a worse quote-unquote prank in here. Michael Darren, a special captain with administrative duties, claims the chief chased him around the office and cornered him before sticking a hypodermic needle through his jeans into the tip of his penis.
Okay, this guy is just an absolute
lunatic.
Monster. Like,
he
what?
Also claims that the chief would shave and put his body hair on people and their food.
Who is this? How long did this guy work at the department?
I mean, he's a chief.
He's the chief.
He's a 26-year veteran of the department whose father and grandfather were deputy chiefs. He was appointed to the top job.
See, this guy is the old, taking all the fun out of the job. You know, I mean, back in my day, you used to be able to jab somebody with the hypodermic needle.
This is, you know what this is?
What?
It's regionally close too. This is the difference between Ramathorn and God. What was the other character in Super Troopers? Where you know they're trying to say meow. He's like, this is Farva.
Yeah, Ramrod.
Yeah, going crazy instead. That's like there's good, fun, cheeky shenanigans, and then there's evil shenanigans.
This isn't shenanigans.
Yeah. This is no.
No. I'm saying this is evil shenanigans. This is like Farva on the school bus, like, oh God, he's beating up children.
No, this is like somebody with a mental illness who's a police chief and just terrorizing the people that he works with.
Yes.
This is bad. The list is ridiculous of how long. What was the tipping point? What was the one that they finally said? Because I don't know, the needle probably should have been it.
The shaving.
That's a real tipping point.
It's like, how'd you like my chest hair on your beef bouillon for lunch?
Come on.
No.
We know it wasn't the chest hair.
This guy going.
This guy's a maniac.
He is a maniac. We know exactly what it is. But this, what in the world was the final straw for this office where they were just like, we're done. You know, the Adderall and the coffee, we were fine with. The Viagra and the coffee, we were okay with. That didn't work out as bad as we thought it would. The jabbing somebody with a hypodermic needle, that maybe crossed the line, Bill. Where was the line? What was the final straw for this
needle
office?
To the penis.
I bet it.
It should have been the spiking drinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yes, but also that was the line.
The number one thing they tell you not to do at cop school. Don't spike people's drinks.
That's number one.
Survey says, I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Dude. Now I'm just wondering, like, how many lawsuits are going to be popping up from people going...
Over the last 26 years?
Yeah, I was arrested by that guy, and...
He planted drugs on me.
Because he had them in his pocket, apparently.
That's probably where he got them.
Jeez Louise. Wow. That's something New Jersey, you say.
I mean, yeah.
All right.
There's just plenty there to work with.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's our worst day on the web. Speaking of worst days, you want to get to a meltdown?
Oh, I would love to.
Let's get to a meltdown. The Lakers have one of the most epic meltdowns against the Chicago Bulls.
Thing of beauty.
And, boy, just savor it. We'll get to that next year on Danny Dusty, 10 of the Fan. Last night, leading into the Trailblazers game, a lot of things actually did go the Blazers' way if you're one of the many who are advocating for getting as many ping pong balls as possible. There was a period there where it looked like the San Antonio Spurs were going to knock off the Cleveland Cavaliers, and it was going to be an extravagant night in the tank chase, as it were. But one of the crazier ones, the Chicago Bulls, were actually handling the Lakers well into the game, and then the Lakers made a pretty seismic jump in the third quarter and took a hold of the game. And as it got down the stretch, it looked like the Lakers were going to win this game, not going away and not even comfortably, but they should take care of business. They were up five.
The box score was nuts.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
The Lakers outscored the Bulls in the second half, 32-17 in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then were outscored 44-26 in the fourth. I don't know if I've ever seen a team do quite that in the final two frames and come out with a win the way that the Bulls did.
No.
That is rare.
And what makes this absolutely crazy is that with 12.1 seconds remaining, the Los Angeles Lakers had a 5-point lead, and this is what we got.
2-point game, 9.8 left. Oh, who scored? Did he? The steal! Right for the lead! Yeah!
Big-time plays! Big-time plays! Kobe, wait! Sub-zero! Bang!
Doncic took the final shot before that. Here's Reeves. Reeves straight to the cup! Plays it in to take the lead! Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win! goal!
Magic Giddy! Good day, mate! Somewhere in Australia, Sydney!
Absolute pandemonium as the Chicago Bulls score 9 points in 12.1 seconds.
Was that Stacey King?
Stacey King and Adam Amin. Two of the best.
Oh my goodness. Stacey King, bang, bang, bang. It reminds me, do you remember the one of the first viral videos, one of the E-bombs world?
Oh yeah.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yes.
I don't want to know your name. What a great call. But to think of how that happened, they're up five.
With 12.1 seconds remaining. The math on that basically says 99.99999%. It's done.
It was a bucket, steal the inbound.
LeBron.
Three.
LeBron had a god-awful inbound pass.
Well, I kid you not. If you go and watch Space Jam, the original Space Jam, and you watch when the Monstars went and they took everybody's powers, that is what LeBron James looked like in that final moment. Because the three-pointer from Kobe White, LeBron is spinning in circles. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't, the highest of basketball IQs had no idea where the ball was going or where his player was.
Because it did ping around.
And then he goes and inbounds the ball with the laziest little drop pass that gets stolen, quick bucket, and then he's nowhere to be found. The Giddy thing, he contests the Giddy shot at half court to win it, but it was like three steps too late, and it was like he had no awareness of how much time was on the clock when Giddy pulled up from half court. I've never seen LeBron like that before.
The Monstar
might be Stephen A. Smith, but he may have taken LeBron's superpowers from him.
It was a meltdown of epic proportions. Absolutely epic proportions.
You hate to see it.
You do hate to see it. But what you love
to
see is the Chicago Bulls beat the Los Angeles Lakers twice in the span of, 8 days?
Yeah.
What that did with that win, the Chicago Bulls jumped all the way up to the 11th worst record in the league.
Oh, really?
The only team between the Blazers and the eighth spot is the San Antonio Spurs. And had the Spurs done the unthinkable last night, because when I do all the permutations and the math behind this stuff, I input, some of the probabilities, and I did not account for the Spurs beating the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
I changed it last night when I was sitting over there at K2, and I popped it in there. Had the Spurs beaten the Cavs last night, the Blazers' chances for the eighth best odds jumped astronomically, because that's not a win that you account for at all.
Right.
And it was like, oh, but the Bulls win. So the Bulls have won four in a row. The Heat have won three in a row. So Miami is effectively tied with the Trailblazers, but they have the same number of wins, but one less loss. So they're in front of them. The Bulls are in front of them. You're not going to catch Toronto. And if for all the people that are out there, talking about a tank, that's the one team that you could convince me of, had the Blazers steered into the skid earlier, they could be ahead of.
And that's a big one, though. We've talked about the difference between 7 and 8 with the lottery odds.
No, not 7 and 8. Between eight and being up to 7 and 6, like in that range. Like that's bigger. Yes.
Well, they're going to be stuck at eight.
Eight is the highest they could get, lowest.
But the difference between 7 and 8 is there is a big difference there between there, 7 and 8.
That's actually one of the smallest jumps in this whole group. From 7 and 8, the number one overall increase goes from 6% to 7.5%.
Pretty significant.
It's something for sure, but the top four increase goes from 26.3 to 31.9.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, though, it is a 6% increase, and before that is a near 7% increase. So you get almost a 14% in the 1-2 spot. But again, I'm not downplaying it. I'm just saying it's one of the small, like, as you get closer to the top, the jumps get a lot smaller,
right?
Because of the smoothing of the lottery odds, but the other teams around the Blazers are cooperating.
Well, great. I would just much rather be a lot closer.
Sure. No. Yeah. I get it. But again, you're talking about the difference between 7 and 8, and that one is not as sizable.
Well, way to go, Lakers.
Yep, look, keep it up. We'd love to see it.
Yep. Back-to-back games, they have won and lost with a buzzer beater. Because on Wednesday night, LeBron buzzer beater, game winner, Lakers win. Thursday night, buzzer beater, Lakers lose. Water finds its level. Take that, Lakers.
The interesting game, the one that I have circled, and it's just like the Wemby draft, Blazers-Spurs. What happens in that game? Because that's still remaining
Blazers
on the schedule.
Lose.
I'm very interested to see what happens in that game.
Well, Toronto's in there too.
Yes, but
the Blazers have got
the one you have direct control over.
They've got three in a row: Toronto, Chicago, San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Those are big games.
Yes.
Big games.
And remember,
to lose.
The Wemby draft, that was when we saw John Butler Jr. at point guard.
Wouldn't hate to see it.
Just throwing that out there. All right, come in next.
That was an incredible shot by Giddey.
Oh, it was.
Horrible person.
I mean, yeah. That shot was straight cash. It wasn't a rattle it in. It left his hand and it was dropped in the basket gently.
Yep.
All right, come in next. We haven't talked about it yet. There's a massive, massive deal in college football. Prime getting paid as one of the best. We'll start that with hour number three here on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.